RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo installed head of National Counterterrorism Agency and the National Agency for Drug and Food Control. Vice President encourages development of a modern education system. The news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo installed head of National Counterterrorism Agency and the National Agency for Drug and Food Control. President Joko Widodo inaugurated Commissioner General Suhardi Alyus as chief of the National Counterterrorism Agency at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. Suhardi Alyus previously served as First Secretary of National Defense Institution. He replaces General Tito Karnavian, who was sworn in as Indonesian Police Chief last week. In addition to inaugurating the new head of the National Counterterrorism Agency, President Joko Widodo also inaugurated Penny Kusumastuti Lukito as Chief Agency for Drugs and Food Control. Penny Kusumastuti was previously a functional official at the Ministry of Development Planning or National Development Planning Agency. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has encouraged the development of a modern education system to meet future demands, the Vice President stated after the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of a housing complex for the teachers at the Dea Malela Modern Islamic Boarding School in Pamangong, Sumbawa District, West Nusa Tenggara Province on Wednesday. He affirmed of equal importance is the need to strengthen the education system with technological knowledge to face the global challenges. Yusuf Kalla arrived in Pamangong aboard a helicopter from Lombok District accompanied by Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Muljono, State Administrative and Bureaucratic Reforms Minister Yudi Krisnandi, Deputy Chairman of the House of Representatives Fahri Hamzah, West Nusa Tenggara Governor Zainul Majdi, and Patron of Dea Malela Education and Culture Foundation Din Samsudin. The Vice President paid a visit to Pamangong, which is located 35 kilometers from the Sumbawa Besar City, to inaugurate the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of a housing complex for the teaching staff of the modern Islamic boarding school named Bait Kalla. The name of the modern Islamic boarding school was derived from Imam Ismail Dea Malela, who was born in Goa, South Sulawesi, and then moved to Pamangong, Sumbawa to spread the values of Islam. Indonesia and Belgium keep on boosting bilateral cooperation in many fields, especially in social, culture, politics, economy, and tourism. Ambassador of Belgium to Indonesia, Patrick Herman, to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, said the cooperation between Indonesia and Belgium tend to boost. He even assured that the investment values will be increasing in the future.
So the trade is $1.5 billion. Indonesia exports for $1 billion every year and still growing quite fast. Grew very much in 2014, grew slightly less in 2015, but then again the international environment was very different. Belgian exports, $500 million, more or less in that bracket, growing very slowly, or not growing at all. But that will change again. So the trend is good, especially for Indonesia, and we do believe it is going to carry on going that way.
Moreover, Patrick Herman explained the investment growth of Belgian investors who invest in Indonesia keep on increasing. So he said Indonesia has become an important country for Belgium to mutually give benefit for those countries in many fields. Meanwhile, the numbers of Belgian tourist arrivals to Indonesia from year to year are increasing. Ambassador of the Kingdom of Belgium to Indonesia, Patrick Herman, in an exclusive interview with RRI World Service Voice Indonesia at the embassy in Jakarta on Tuesday, July 19, explained that the natural and cultural beauty is the main attraction for Belgian tourists to visit Indonesia. Bali Island and Borobudur Temple are two tourism destinations in Indonesia that have been well known in Belgium and become the main destinations of Belgian tourists to visit this country. However, Ambassador Patrick Herman also explained about the emerging of new trend in Belgian tourist arrivals to Indonesia. He said Belgian tourists who come to Indonesia start to visit other tourism destinations such as Yogyakarta, Lombok, East Nusa Tenggara, Sulawesi Island, and many other destinations outside Indonesia's main tourist destinations. The tourists make Bali Island as an early destination before further visit other tourism destinations in Indonesia. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. U.S. President Barack Obama last week nominated Joseph R. Donovan Jr. as the next U.S. ambassador to Indonesia, replacing Robert O. Blake, who will officially leave Indonesia this week. Joseph Donovan's nomination was announced on July the 13th, along with six other nominees for key administration posts in the U.S. government. Joseph Donovan will replace Robert Blake, who delivered his farewell speech on Monday, marking the end of his stint in the country. Robert Blake had been in Indonesia since November 2013, while Joseph Donovan, a career diplomat, is currently serving as the managing director of the Washington office of the American Institute in Taiwan. He has been there since 2014. Last item, developing the infrastructure including extending the Marinda Airport runway to boost tourism development in Raja Ampat District is part of President Joko Widodo's pledge to focus more attention on the Papua region. The Indonesian government has launched key infrastructure projects aimed at facilitating visitors' access to Raja Ampat. President Joko Widodo wants Marinda Airport's runway in Raja Ampat extended to 2,500 meters in order to serve larger aircraft. According to Raja Ampat District Head Abdul Faris Umiati, during his visit to Raja Ampat recently, President Joko Widodo expressed his hope that the Marinda Airport could be expanded like other airports in Indonesia. Umiati explained that the local government has agreed and is ready to support the development of Marinda Airport, but most of the land around the airport is a conservation area that requires further study by the relevant ministries. In addition, the people of Raja Ampat also want the airport to be expanded to accommodate wide-bodied aircraft because the area is a world tourist destination. There are also plans to build 5-star hotels on the main Waigeo Island, although the local government did not provide a specific timeline for those plans. President Joko Widodo said tourism development in West Papua is being undertaken to develop Raja Ampat. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo installed head of National Counterterrorism Agency and the National Agency for Drug and Food Control. Vice President Yusuf Kalla encourages development of a modern education system. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelago country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled Why Still Using Violence? Listener, French people celebrated their national day, the Bastille Day, on Thursday, July the 14th. However, an incident occurred in Nice, a city in the south of France. A truck crashed into a crowd of people and resulted in an approximately 70 people were killed. The local security forces shot dead the perpetrator, who was later identified as a French citizen of North African descent. This incident triggered the opposition to claim that the socialist French government was unable to do much to face a series of violence that swept the country in the last 18 months. The success in holding the European Cup soccer tournament vanished with this heinous action. French Prime Minister Manuel Valls received the impact. His presence on Monday, July 18 in Nice, was mocked by people who were going to have a moment of silence in memory of the victims. Indeed, France is not alone. Another incident occurred also in Germany. Police had to knock out a 17-year immigrant from West Asia who launched an attack on a train in Wiesbaden, Bavaria. Bavaria's Interior Minister Joachim Herrmann said the perpetrator lives in a city not far from the location of the attack. In both instances, the perpetrators were identified as immigrants. While across the Atlantic, three policemen became victims of an attack in Baton Rouge, the state of Louisiana, United States. All three were shot by unknown perpetrator who later was identified as Gavin Long, an African-American former Marine Corps member. He was then shot dead by police. Attacks against security forces also occurred in Almaty, Kazakhstan. The armed group attacked a police post on Monday, resulting in at least two policemen were killed. Yet more severe incidents occurred in Turkey. After an attack at the airport and a few other places, last weekend Turkey was rocked by a military coup that failed but killed nearly 300 people. The administration of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan arrested and dismissed hundreds of military and thousands of police officers, judges, and prosecutors. Erdogan had even mentioned the death penalty for the perpetrators of the coup. Violence seems still be used here and there. As a matter of fact, on Monday, July 18, the United Nations celebrated Mandela Day to commemorate Nelson Mandela, former president of the South African, an anti-apartheid fighter. This figure didn't use violence in his fight against apartheid and even was imprisoned for more than 20 years. However, Mandela managed to become president of South Africa amid the apartheid system, without using violence against political opponents. Mandela became an example on how to solve problems through communication and not violence. Unfortunately, the celebration of Mandela Day remained a mere celebration, for violence keeps on happening. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. I'm Dinugraha. We start from an event which happened on July 20, 1951. Jordan King Abdullah I was killed. Abdullah bin Hussein was one of the Arab rulers who opposed the rule of the Ottoman Empire in the early 19th. In 1921, he was appointed as Emir of Transjordan, which later became the Kingdom of Jordan, a British puppet state formation and played a strategic role for British rule in other areas such as Egypt, Iraq, and Palestine. On July 20, 1951, Abdullah bin Hussein was killed by a Palestinian gunman when he entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, who did not intend to make a peace treaty with Israel. On July 1960, Sirimavo Bandaranaike was elected as Prime Minister of Sri Lanka and the first female state leader in the world. Sirimavo Ratwate Bandaranaike was the first woman in the world who became Prime Minister. Sirimavo Bandaranaike serving as Prime Minister of Sri Lanka for the first time on July 20, 1960. The name of Bandaranaike was taken from her husband's name, who was also the Prime Minister of Sri Lanka. Sirimavo was three times served as Prime Minister of Sri Lanka for the periods of 1960, 1965, 1972, 1977, and 1994 to 2000. She is also a chairman of the party, the Sri Lanka Freedom Party. Sirimavo Bandaranaike's family are well known in the political world of Sri Lanka. His three sons become important persons in the country, like Chandrika Kumaratunga, who served as the president of Sri Lanka, Anura Bandaranaike as the Minister of Tourism of Sri Lanka, and Sunetra Bandaranaike, who became philanthropist. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event on July 20, 1969. Neil Armstrong became the first human who landed on the moon. Neil Armstrong, an astronaut of the United States, set foot on the moon on July 20, 1969 at 10:56 p.m. at the location which is more than 386,000 kilometers from the Earth. Armstrong uttered the words which is immortal until today, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Armstrong departed from Earth 4 days before using Apollo 11, Dwayne Aldrin Jr. and Michael Collins. On July 19, 1969, Apollo 11 entered the lunar orbit. Armstrong was firstly put his foot on the moon. A few minutes later, Aldrin joined Armstrong. All three astronauts returned safely to Earth on July 22, 1969. Listener, that was Today in History from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Voice Green. Today we'll talk about the government forms the National Waste Advisory Board. Listener, waste issue currently get a serious attention. Even President Joko Widodo has instructed to form a national waste management system so that national waste problem can be solved immediately. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar is one of the authorities has launched various measures to accelerate the national waste management, such as to form the National Waste Advisory Board through a decree to be issued this month. With the board, Ministry of Environment and Forestry hope to be given consideration, improving communication, setting up monitoring instruments, advocacy, support for the campaign, and to help the evaluations of waste management program in Indonesia. The first meeting of the Steering and Advisory Board of the National Waste was held on Friday, July 15 at Manggala Wanabakti Building, Jakarta. The inaugural meeting was attended by elements of civil society, entrepreneurs, associations, experts, medias, and representatives of associated ministries of government agencies. On the occasion, the Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar said that bureaucracy work should be done together with independent element since it has a sizable resource that can help bureaucracy to resolve the waste issue. This collaborative work should be taken into increase the people's trust and the targets can be achieved quickly. Meanwhile, Director General of Waste Management Hardus and Toxic Tuti Hendrawati Mintarsi explained, the waste problem have become heavy since it was triggered by population growth and various types of waste that following the patterns of people's consumption. Besides, public awareness to the waste problem is still low. Household waste management infrastructure is not adequate yet, and law enforcement are also not effective. All challenges need cooperation of all parties. The composition of the Institutional Advisory Board and the National Advisory Waste consists of three structures, namely the structures of trustees, which is coordinated by the Minister of Environment and Forestry, who will make coordination with the Minister of Public Works and Housing, Home Minister, Head of Bappenas, the Minister of Industry, the Minister of Finance, Minister of Trade, Minister of Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, the Cabinet Secretary, Chief of the Presidential Staff and Commander of the Marine Corps. The leadership structure led by Nabil Makarim, former Environment Minister for 2001-2004 period, and five structures of the working group. In the decree of board establishment, the elements of civil society is fully involved into a core element in the structure and compositions of the institution. That was Voy Green for today. I'm Di Nugraha.
You are still with Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo installed Head of National Counterterrorism Agency and the National Agency for Drug and Food Control. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has encouraged the development of a modern education system to meet future demands, the Vice President stated after groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of a housing complex for teachers of the Amalela Modern Islamic Boarding School in Pamangong, Sumba District, West Nusa Tenggara Province on Wednesday. Indonesia and Belgium keep on boosting bilateral cooperation in many fields, especially in social, culture, and politics, economy, and tourism. Ambassador of Belgium to Indonesia, Patrick Herman, said Belgium is convinced that the export-import value with Indonesia grows in the future. The number of Belgian tourist arrivals to Indonesia from year to year are increasing, as revealed by the Ambassador of the Kingdom of Belgium to Indonesia, Patrick Herman, in an exclusive interview with RRI World Service in Jakarta. U.S. President Barack Obama last week nominated Joseph R. Donovan Jr. as the next U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, replacing Robert Oblake, who will officially leave Jakarta this week. Developing the infrastructure, including extending the Marinda Airport runway to boost tourism development in Raja Ampat District, is part of President Joko Widodo's pledge to focus more attention on the Papua region. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit West Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Garut is a regency in West Java Province. This regency shares borders with Sumedang Regency in the north, Tasikmalaya in the east, Indian Ocean in the south, and also Cianjur and Bandung Regency in the west. Most of Garut's territorial areas are hilly. No wonder if the hills becomes the main tourism object. Not only hills, in Garut there are many hidden and beautiful nature. One of them is Orok Waterfall. Orok Waterfall is one of waterfalls in Garut. The waterfall is located at Cikandang Village, Sikiajang Sub-District, Garut, West Java, and has distance around 25 kilometers from the city center. This route is from Jalan Raya Cimanuk, Jalan Raya Biongbong, and Jalan Raya Cisurupan. Although it takes long route, you will be entertained with beautiful nature. The scenery is from Mount Papandayan and Mount Cikuray. After passing the route, tourists must be through line to the area of Nusantara 8 Papandayan Plantation. The location of Orok Waterfall has a distance around 300 meters from the main route. Orok Waterfall is located at a valley. Tourists who want to visit this place must go down 100 stairs to reach it. Many green trees flourish at surrounding waterfall. Those trees give fresh air and beautiful nuance. At the place, there are several waterfalls. The main waterfall is around 45 meters high. Around the waterfall, there are several little waterfalls which make the scenery more beautiful. These waterfalls have become tourism objects in long time. Because of that, at the weekend and national holiday, many tourists come to the location. There is horrible myths about Orok Fall. This waterfall is named Orok Waterfall because according to story of local people, in 1988 there was a woman who threw her baby from the top of the waterfall. It causes the waterfall to be given a name of Orok Waterfall. Orok means baby. The ticket price to enter to the waterfall is very cheap. If you drive your own car, so will you pay with additional charge. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Orok Waterfall in Garut, West Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Menepati Janji, which in English means keep promise, stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Menepati janji. Menepati janji in English means keep promise. Lulus ujian. Lulus ujian in English means pass the examination. Selamat ya. Selamat ya in English means congratulations. Terima kasih. Terima kasih in English means thank you. Sesuai janjimu. Sesuai janjimu in English means as your promise. Pesta. Pesta in English means party. Tentu. Tentu in English means of course. Kapan. Kapan in English means when. Tempat dan waktu. Tempat dan waktu in English means place and time. Tunggu. Tunggu in English means to wait for. Kabar. Kabar in English means information or news. Jangan lupa. Jangan lupa in English means do not forget. Hubungi juga. Hubungi juga in English means also call. Teman-teman lainnya. Teman-teman lainnya in English means other friends. Laksanakan. Laksanakan in English means let's do it or to implement. Now, we give you an example of conversation entitled Berkenalan, or in English means to be acquainted. The conversation is between A. Danu and B. Aris. A. Danu. Hore, saya lulus ujian. Hore, saya lulus ujian, which means hore, I passed the examination. B. Aris. Selamat ya. Sesuai janjimu, kita akan berpesta. Selamat ya. Sesuai janjimu, kita akan berpesta. Which means, congratulations. As your promise, we will have a party. A. Danu. Terima kasih. Tentu saya akan menepati janji. Terima kasih. Tentu saya akan menepati janji. Which means, thank you. Of course, I will keep my promise. B. Aris, kapan? Kapan, which means when. A. Danu, ya nanti saya tentukan tempat dan waktunya. Ya nanti saya tentukan tempat dan waktunya, which means yes, let me see the place and time. B. Aris, saya tunggu kabar dari kamu. Saya tunggu kabar dari kamu, which means I'll wait for your information. A. Danu, baiklah, jangan lupa hubungi juga teman-teman lainnya. Baiklah, jangan lupa hubungin juga teman-teman lainnya, which means alright, do not forget to call other friends. B. Aris, siap, saya akan laksanakan. Siap, saya akan laksanakan, which means alright, I'll do it. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, is holding VOI International Quiz 2016 with the main prize, having a holiday in Indonesia. Indonesia, an amazing country, the world's largest archipelagic country, where you can find a lot of wonderful things. Indonesia, a beautiful place with natural cultural diversity, along with its friendly people. All of this will impress you for good. Are you dreaming of visiting Indonesia? Make your dream come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2016. You may be the lucky one to visit the wonderful Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. What is the capital city of Indonesia? 2. What is your favorite program? 3. Tell us briefly what you know about Voice of Indonesia. Please send your answer along with your personal data, passport number, and expiry date of your passport to voiquiz2016@gmail.com. voiquiz2016@gmail.com before August 1st, 2016. Welcome to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you to an Indonesian pop singer, namely Ari Kusmiran. Well listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Setulus Hatimu, Semurni Cintamu by Ari Kusmiran. Enjoy the song.
Usaplah air mata. dilakukan. Percayalah, memerlukan pengertian. Tapi sayang, buat aku, belajarlah. Belajarlah mengerti diriku. Dan
Ari Kusmiran is a singer who was popular in the 1970s era. The youngest of seven siblings from her parent Kusmiran and Juana was born in Sidoarjo, East Java on April 20, 1958. Ari Kusmiran began her career since she was in elementary school. In 1970, she won a pop singer competition for the level of East Java 3 years in a row. Since at that time, Ari Kusmiran began a work contract with Mutiara Recording Company and released the first album entitled Kenangan December. The success of Ari Kusmiran could not be separated from Indonesian talented composers Is Haryanto, Arianto, and Barjo van Houten. The tour then moved to the Philippines in the framework of the first ASEAN Song Festival. In the festival, Ari Kusmiran dedicated an ethnic Javanese song entitled Romo Onomaling, composed by Titiek Puspa, in a duet with Ade Manuhutu. She continued to a series of tour shows to Suriname, Rotterdam, and The Hague with a Javanese language album. My listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Di Tepi Sungai Babylon. Happy listening.
Di tepian sungai Babylon.
Listener, the success of her career took Ari Kusmiran to the tour show abroad, such as Singapore, to follow the Asian Film Festival in 1977. The tour was then continued to the first ASEAN Song Festival in the Philippines. Ari Kusmiran also tried her talent in an acting on large screen in 1979. She played in a dozen films such as Binalnya Anak Muda, Gita Cinta dari SMA, and Arjuna Mencari Cinta. However, because she loved very much to the music career, Ari Kusmiran along her husband built a recording company with a label PT Elang Mas Ananta Istamitra, which then produced her own songs, as well as her three children, so that it became the family company that still be exists up to this time. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner, now I will take you to enjoy the last song by Ari Kusmiran, entitled Kenangan Desember, or The Memory of December. See you then and sampai jumpa.
Meski serintas, sungguh berakhir.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Tiada hari yang kudamba, tiada.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.